God, Sister Hughes, if you would. Point number three, teach by and with the Spirit. That the Spirit of the Lord is the real teacher. And that's why I said, I think, a minute ago to the audience out there around the world, listen with your heart, listen with your soul, and you may have feelings that don't have anything to do, promptings that don't have anything to do with what we're saying. It may be something very personal, it may be something at home, it may be something in a marriage or with a child, but that's the Spirit, and that's the real teacher. There's a line from the 16th verse of the 43rd section of the Doctrine and Covenants that says, you're to be taught from on high, that we're instruments, we're tools, and it's our tongues and our lips, but the teacher is on high. Okay, now I'm going to talk to my buddy, Orrin Howell. Okay. Now, first of all, it's good teaching experience to have the class know about each other and be a little more acquainted, and so we're going to do that for a minute with Orrin. Okay, Orrin, you're on. When did you join the church?
Joined the church in June 1996.
Where did you join the church, Brother Howell?
In Bosnia.
In Bosnia. What were you doing in Bosnia, Brother Howell?
I was in the military at the time.
You were in the military at the time. Where, in what, in Bosnia were you baptized?
I was baptized in Tuzla, in a converted Russian bar that had been converted to a chapel, where they used a cover to a tank, turned it upside down, brought it into the chapel, and we use that as a font.
I'm not sure that we can go where this is taking us, but this is a wonderful young man in the military who is touched by the lives of other Latter-day Saints in the military, and he receives a testimony of the gospel and wants to be baptized. So the converted chapel that they met in wartime conditions, the upside-down hood of a tank, if I understand it right, Orrin.
Engine cover.
The engine cover of a tank was removed, tipped upside down to form a basin-like structure, filled with water, and Orrin filled the basin. Orrin filled that. He was baptized. Now, the really important question, Orrin, who confirmed you a member of the church in that setting?
You did, Elva Holland.
Moi?
Yes.
Yo? I had the wonderful privilege in the summer of 1996 to confirm Orrin Howell, a member of the church, in Tuzla, Bosnia, under wartime conditions where we were scrambling, in a sense, for our lives, I mean quite literally, and to see this wonderful young man, now a high priest, serving the church faithfully here in the Salt Lake Valley. He's a very distinguished member of our class today. Thank you, Orrin, for that little bio. Let's the class know each other a little better when we haven't been together as often as we'd like to. I'm going to have Brother Howell develop teaching by the Spirit with us and turn to section 50. Brother Orrin, turn to section 50 of a series and sequence of verses that we often, regularly, urgently use with the missionaries. But we should use it equally with all of us. Let's go to verse 13. Brother Howell, would you read Doctrine and Covenants 50, verse 13?
Wherefore, I the Lord ask you this question. Unto what were ye ordained?
Okay, let's just to take and shift the emphasis a little for broader purposes here. Let's substitute the word called for ordained. Okay, ordained would be priesthood language, and we're going to talk about the general call to teach. So, wherefore I, the Lord, ask you this question: unto what were you called? Okay, now, Brother Howell, read the Lord's answer in verse 14.
To preach my gospel by the Spirit, even the Comforter, which was sent forth to teach the truth.
Okay. Just a scriptural assertion to underscore what we're trying to develop and have already said, and that is that the real teacher is the Spirit. I'm not the teacher, and you're not the teachers as you turn around and go out to these classes. We are all receptive. We all need to be receptive to the Holy Spirit, to the guidance of heaven, which is the teacher. To preach my gospel by the Spirit, even the Comforter, which was sent forth to teach the truth. Now, a caution, as the scripture goes on. What if we try to do it in some other way? What if we try to teach without the Spirit, or unmindful of the Spirit, or unreceptive to the Spirit? What is the Lord's verdict on that kind of teaching? Sister McKee, do you want to try verse 18 in just going down a few verses from where Oren read?
Yes. And if it be by some other way, it is not of God.
Just say it one more time. That is so powerful.
And if it be by some other way, it is not of God.
If it be by some other way, it is not of God. How many other ways? Sister Beck?
So does this mean if I sit down and study my books and manuals and I write up an outline and I have my plan, that I can't teach that, or that I have to just, I prepare and I have to be ready to set it aside and be directed by the Spirit with the preparation I have?
Any comments on that question before I offer my own response? You heard Sister Beck's question. Any response to that? It's a legitimate question.
It is. You know, it's not just that the Spirit whispers when you are standing up, not using your notes. I think the Spirit can whisper beginning with the preparation and in the putting together. It's much like General Conference. General Conference has a marvelous way of touching our lives, but there's a lot of preparation.
The work that goes in before
that's
that.
That's right.
Okay. More comments about this. You know, what's the part of the teacher and what's the part of the Spirit?
So if I just get up and read my plan and say, well, this is it, then I think, to me, if there's a big load of trust that comes in to say, now I've prepared. That's my security. Even if I prepared being guided, but then to be able to say, I'll do whatever you want me to do in this setting. Okay. And if someone in my class has had a challenge that week that changes the dynamic of that, help me understand how do I know where that blend comes of being guided and directed to say what comes into my heart at that time, or to use a different scripture?
That's a terrific question, and every teacher will face it. Brother Kerr, you had a comment.
I'm just going to say, I think the key is beyond that preparation and that treasuring up is to not be locked into that, to not be bound by the plan. Let that be just the background and then open.
Okay.
Be open to the prompting.
Okay. Room for both, that it wouldn't be fair to just walk in and say, I haven't prepared, but the Spirit is going to guide us. On the other hand, to be so locked in to preparation that we're not going to entertain any prompting we get along the way after the fact would be the other extreme. I think Sister Beck is steering us in a learning experience for all of us here towards some combination of this. We've prepared, but we're open to the Spirit, and we've got that freedom to move where we should go at that given hour, in the moment of our delivery. Brother Snow and then Sister Hughes.
We have to understand that every member of that class may go home with a slightly different prompting from the Spirit.
Thank you.
Of that class, and it's just so important that the Spirit be present. But how many of us have heard when there's been this wonderful discussion going on, and the teacher has said, this is a very good discussion, but I must complete the lesson.
Yeah, sure.
And we all feel that.
Yeah, we do. We do. And those will be realities we'll have to learn to accommodate, and ourselves be as sensitive as the person to whom that impression came, so that we do right by the moment and seize that opportunity. Sister Hughes? You know,
this has always been a really interesting and somewhat perplexing issue for me. How do we know, and how can a teacher know, because I'm not sure I do, understand with confidence that they are teaching with the Spirit? And I don't know. I look to you, because I don't know, I'm not sure for me, when I go to teach, I'm always confident of that, and I don't...
Any comment, any reaction to that? The teacher's reassurance that... that she or he is teaching by the Spirit? What would you look to for an indication of that? Or do you just do it in faith and hope that all of these things are happening that Brother Snow mentioned, and we won't always know? Brother Jensen?
I'm wondering if it isn't, at least for me, and I have the same question, and maybe back in section 50, and you may want to take us there yet in verses 21 and 22. Therefore, why is it that you cannot understand and know that he that receiveth the word by the Spirit of truth receiveth it as it is preached by the Spirit of truth? Wherefore, he that preacheth and he that receiveth understand one another, and both are edified and rejoice together.
Maybe a little rejoicing, Kathy. Maybe if your heart rejoices a little is at least one indication. Please, Jay, another comment?
It's what we're seeing you do today with us is the teacher up there, the talking head, delivering and not inviting participation. I have a little quote I carry in my scripture related to that verse, and I think I have a new appreciation for it today as we've been talking about it. And that is, invite participation because the use of agency by that student authorizes the Holy Ghost to instruct. And as we verbalize it, is the Holy Ghost then teaching, and then you're listening.
Would you say that again?
Read that again.
It's a little, Elder Scott taught this in one of these CES training meetings.
Read it again.
Assure that there is abundant participation because that use of agency by a student authorizes the Holy Ghost to instruct. It helps the student to retain your message. As students verbalize truths, they are confirmed in their souls and strengthen their personal testimonies.
That's wonderful. That triggers a thought that I remember from President Marion G. Romney, who said once, "I always know when I've spoken under the influence of the Spirit because I learned something I didn't know."
Yes.
And he's the speaker. He's the teacher, and suddenly he's either saying things or thinking things that he had not thought before. Or if he thought them before, they've come with new delight, new power. Those might be some of the ways to get an indication. I don't want to get too far from Brother Snow's comment that in many cases we won't know. We'll do all we can do, but in this big, wide, wonderful, worldwide audience out there, we hope that hundreds of thousands of things are happening in people's hearts or will because of this experience or other church experiences, and we won't ever know. Maybe that's part of the teacher's divine calling, is to be an instrument and move on and trust that we've been as spiritual and as devoted as we can, and then the miracle of personal revelation goes on and on and on. I think that's a very gratifying idea about teaching and a teacher.